Everyone agrees, bacon makes everything better. Even marketing. This is the Bacon Podcast, where you'll learn to cure your marketing.
And make your business sizzle.
Can't believe I said that.
Internet marketing. Online marketing. Social media tips and techniques. Now, to help you bring more bacon home, the master of marketing sizzle, Brian Basilico. This is the Bacon Podcast.
Welcome, everybody. I'm your host, Brian Basilico, and this is the podcast where you learn to make your business sizzle online. So are you ready to fry up some new business?
Hey, peeps. I want to introduce you to somebody that I met through Warren Whitlock, who's been on the show a couple of times. His name is Thomas Magnum, and Thomas is with All About Connecting. And he's a facilitator, a trainer, and he works primarily in the Washington, D.C. area, but also all over the place. So he's had a lot of experience with companies. But today we're going to be talking about engaging your audience in a possibility. So, Thomas, how are you doing today, man?
I'm doing really well, Brian. Thanks for having me.
Oh, man, it's a pleasure. We had such a great chat on the phone while you were going through all those tunnels in D.C.
I remember that.
Yeah, it was a blast. But anyways, I think, you know, I just really connected with you, and I thought you had some really great stuff that I wanted to share with my audience. So, but before we do that, I usually like to give them your origin story, your backstory. So just in a short, tell us how you went from being an ice cream man to a weatherman for the Air Force, and then yanked away from them by the Army to be an interrogator. And I hope there was no waterboarding involved, right?
Of course not.
Thank you.
And you know, there's no way I would tell you.
Thank you. Of course, because you'd have to kill me. And then now you're a training facilitator, and you work with large companies and individual clients and things like that. So give us this backstory. How did all of that unfold?
The short version is 30-some years. But you know, other people have said, it's like, hey, how did all that happen in your life? And I go, 30 some years. To me, it's just was my life. And I realized that when some people hear that, I'm like, oh my gosh, you've been and done so many things. True. I think I have probably lived many, many lifetimes in a very few amount of years. And one might call me an even a Renaissance man. I take that as a compliment. I think that's a knowing a little bit about a lot of stuff, helps you connect with a lot of people as far as I'm concerned. And I just thrived on experience, Brian. I mean, as a kid, you know, ice cream guy, you know, Domino's pizza guy, going into the military was a whole 10-year adventure. And then going into business, one thing led to another. I was good with people, was able to really create amazing connections, and no small part to the U.S. Army being an interrogator. To be fair, they called us human intelligence specialists or interviewers. That's the polite version of interrogator. Okay, pretty much.
Mm-hmm.
But you gotta get to know people, and which has led me to today, where I'm a curriculum designer. I design fun, effective, memorable team building and leadership adventures, mostly for big corporate brands now, and kind of have that. That's kind of my niche. I mean, not kind of. It is my niche now. That's who I chose to work with.
Very cool. Yeah. And I could see how all of that, I mean, the customer service side, the, you know, facilitating training, and I get the whole point about interrogation. I mean, you have to build trust with people. I mean, in order for them to want to trust you to give up information, that's kind of the goal, right?
Correct.
Yeah. Correct. So, I mean, you could try beating them into submission, but that usually makes it harder. So building that trust, I think, is huge, which is what you're all about today. So let's dig into the topic. And again, we're talking about engaging your audience in a possibility. So when we say that, what do you mean? What's engaging your audience in a possibility?
I think some people, you know, some people need help I feel that they deserve some provocative questions from you, whether you're a leader of a big corporate team, sports team, military team, whether you're an entrepreneur, you know, looking to connect with your ideal client and your audience, is engage them in a possibility. Ask a provocative question. You know, what's possible for you? Where aren't you right now? Like, well, we already got, you know, where are you? Well, where would you prefer yourself to be? What's possible for you? Where do you, when you close your eyes and in your mind's eye, where do you see yourself to be? And I've just found, you know, when you work with any type of audience like that, it opens them up. It opens them up and causes them to dream and excites them and puts them in a good mood. And think about it for a moment. If I was looking to sell an idea, a product or service to someone, first I've got to sell them on a vision. And it's just taking them on a journey. To me, it's, I guess to me, Brian, it's a natural thing. But what I've realized working with all these entrepreneurs and corporate leaders is that it's not. They're like, oh my gosh, that's just, that's so easy. I mean, mm-hmm. do you actually take them on a journey through imagination? Absolutely. You know, open them up to what's possible. And then you get to, and we've always said, you know, it's a journey, you know, that when you're selling something to someone, you take them on a journey. Well, you've got to start and lay out the journey in their mind first before you physically take their hand and go on a journey.
Yep. No, and I love that. I mean, that's exactly what it is. It's getting people to, you know, because people are just mired into where they're at, the day-to-day drudgery, yes. and you know, being able to imagine yourself at a different place. I mean, if you would have asked me, you know, 10 years ago, do you ever think you could be an author? It's like, well, what, are you kidding me? That's mm-hmm. no way. I could barely spell, nonetheless write a book, and now I got four, you know, and it's like it took somebody like you to say, no, you can do this. You know, you just don't realize how easy it is once you understand the principles. So yeah, I thoroughly get it.
I mean, let's, and really briefly here, sure. and is that let's keep in mind that this is a really critical piece, because let's think about where people are. Most folks, if they're looking for a solution, then they're stuck in a lot of emotions right now. They're angry, they're sad, they're depressed, they're usually not like thrilled. You know, if they're looking for a solution to a problem, they're in a problem, is that they can get really mired in the emotions of it. And so how cool and what a savior you can be to take them into the realm of possibility that they haven't maybe been in a dreamlike state in a while. It's a little bit like a drug. So, that's why I said you're a hero and a savior to most folks when you just do that one little part.
Yeah, no, I can see that. So when we talked, there were five key principles to this. So let's quickly cover these five key principles, and then we'll revisit them in the end. So the first one that you said was you have to get them to acknowledge. What did they have to acknowledge?
Well, I call it recognize and acknowledge them. It's one thing that I would do in any case with anybody I'm working with is just, hey, I just really want to thank you for being here and being in conversation with me. It's something that I do not see done on a regular basis, and not nearly enough. I don't know anybody that doesn't like to be recognized and acknowledged. And let me give you an example. Is that, you know, I acknowledge you for your willingness to even spend a few minutes with me to be here right now, being willing to do something that we've never done before to create some results that we haven't had before. And I think it's so unusual that the other party, the audience, may kind of scrunch up their face and go, what? Why are you thanking us? We should be thanking you because you're the consultant, you're the leader, you're going to be giving us information. And it's just a beautiful opportunity to throw kind of a wild card in there, or a twist to the obvious conversation. That so there's no arrogance or anything like that. As the trainer, consultant, service provider, what have you, acknowledge they're willing to be something they've never been before, or do something they've never done before, to create results that they've never had before. Mm-hmm. And even if you just take that little quote right there. My experience when that lands with people, they're like, wow, that's really kind of him. You recognize that, yeah, I'm making a trade-off right now. You know, I'm having a conversation with them, or I'm attending a seminar, or going to a webinar or something. And this is just one of those things that's going to increase the know-like trust factor with your audience.
Yep. And no, like, trust is like my moniker. I use that all the time. So the second part is define success for all. And obviously, a lot of people are self-centered. They want success for themselves, but it really is trying to create a win-win. Is that what you're trying to say?
Yes. And it's a yes. And it's like, let me use one of the things that I do primarily with my corporate clients is mm-hmm. they a lot of times ask me, they're all excited, like, yeah, we want to be a high performing team, Thomas. That's the jargon that you use. I love that you say high-performing team. We want to be a championship team. We want to be a high-performing team. And one of the first things I do after acknowledging and recognizing them is, well, what does that mean to you? And they're like, what? What do you mean? We want to be a high-performing team. Yeah, I know. But we've got to come to a definition of success for you. And it doesn't matter whether you're working with a team or whether I'm working with my audience. Is like, I owe it to my audience to ask, well, what does that mean? And this goes for, you know, if entrepreneurs are listening, that kind of thing, and they want to connect better with their audience. What is it? Is it more clients? Is it more money? Is it reducing expenses? Whatever you're offering out there to your particular audience, you make sure that you're in sync. Make sure that they're answering the question of what does more mean? What does success, quote, success, unquote, what does that mean to you so that we're on the same page? Same thing goes for your virtual assistant team or your live team if you have a storefront, something like that, is getting them all on the same page. Again, major overlooked but simple step if you will just kind of go down the checklist and ask, well, how do you define more? How do you define success?
Love it. And totally makes sense. And it's kind of getting everybody on the same page and feeling like they're working for the common good, which will help lift everybody. I think that's awesome.
There you go.
All right. So the third thing that we brought up was building trust by asking questions. So how do you build trust by asking questions?
It means you care. When you're asking questions, it means you care. Even if my audience has different responses, emotional responses, because, you know, it's like, well, be polite. You know, you shouldn't ask rude, invasive type of questions. Who says? I've had audience members, and this is when I was an entrepreneur and a service provider to individuals out there and other small business owners, as well as in corporate. Be known as that person that asks provocative, big, powerful questions. And I know that can sound vulnerable. It can sound invasive, perhaps. It can cause some vulnerability with your target audience. But are you really there just to ask really softball type of questions? I mean, are you really going to get hired? I'm being kind of cynical. But it's like, you're going to get hired by the individuals that feel that you care so much that you're, I guess, willing to go too far with them and press their buttons. So I like questions. I like really provocative, big, powerful type of questions.
Yeah. And I agree with you. I mean, it's one of those kind of things where, for example, a client I'm working with, looking at their website, you know, the questions that I ask is, what are you trying to do? Well, I'm trying to get speeches. Okay, well, what are the speeches going to get you? Well, they're going to help me sell books. Okay, well, you know, when all is said and done, you sell a book for $10. How many books do you have to sell to make this worth your while? it's trying to get them to understand that, you know, even though it sounds like a great idea, it may not be a real good business idea. And that's a tough question. You know, that's something that, you know, when they hear it, they're going, wow, I didn't think of it that way. Well, that sucks. But, you know, there's ways of solving that problem, you know, charging for the speeches, doing boot camps, whatever it is, but finding a way to take it to the next level. So, yeah, I thoroughly agree with that. I love it.
There's a correlation with that, Brian. There's a correlation to whether, you know, I just thought about this, is that if I'm selling to an audience of individuals, or whether I'm looking to build trust on a team. One thing I'll tell you about, like, you know, on teams, if you kind of think about military teams, they go through something tough and then they bond. The same thing can happen with a service provider and a potential client. Is when you're pressing buttons like that, let's say a lot of emotions are coming up and, you know, they're kind of getting defensive. And anybody that's been an entrepreneur and you really, really care about potential clients, you're willing to get into a conversation that may be uncomfortable and press some buttons there. Well, there's your bonding moment. Those are the times when people will remember you, is when you cared so much, you were willing to ask those really provocative questions, and then bonding is going to happen. Because if you can work with them long enough, or be with them long enough to come out to the other side and create some possibility and create some results, they're never going to leave you.
Yeah, which leads to the next point, because I think this is it. Mm-hmm. So you've asked the questions, you've kind of made them, you know, think differently, maybe even made them a little uncomfortable. The next part is trying to get them to opt in to the whole program. So what does that mean, and how do you do it?
You know, I was drawing a correlation between like getting teams to opt in, and I call it being in it to win it as a team. At some point, and you can probably already tell, is that I don't chase people very far. I ask really powerful questions, and they either opt in or they don't. And that's why I said get them to opt in, is sometimes that can take a mismatch. Meaning, those of you that know NLP, or if you've ever been in interrogation or something like that, to purposely say something so that they come by back opposite, you know, you can use that to your advantage, is just, you know, it can be just a well-placed question. I mean, are you, what can I come up with right now that'll relate to the audience here? When is enough enough? When are you done catering to, you know, catering to tire kickers, what have you, but something to get them to mismatch or come towards you. And sometimes that means pushing them away, not being passive aggressive or anything like that, but not chasing them, causing them to opt in and come to you. Let me give you an example. I've had a client that actually I kind of pushed them so far, and they said, you know what? I've never had a coach or consultant like you. It's like you don't want to work with me, Thomas. And I'm like, what are you talking about? And like, you know, it just feels like you really don't. And I'm like, well, here's the thing. If you don't want to put some skin in the game, if you don't really want to make some changes in your life, then I'm not going to chase you. Why would I do that? That makes no sense. And they go, sold. That makes sense?
Yeah, no, it thoroughly makes sense. And that leads us to our fifth and final point, and that is to get them to take action. So, you know, one of the biggest challenges I've had as a teacher, a trainer, and a coach is I can teach people the best stuff, and I've seen it work for so many people, but they'll finish up the training and then they'll just go home and they won't implement anything. So how do you encourage people, once you've gotten them to opt in, to take action, to do something with it?
You know, this is actually pretty easy if you follow the other steps.
Okay.
And if there's probably one takeaway, and I think I have a takeaway from this whole interview and this conversation, it's reminding me of something, is ask powerful questions. Be willing to go too far with people that are prospective clients as well as your clients. Don't wait to be provocative. Don't wait to take a stand for their greatness. And so by the time you get to this, it shouldn't be all lightweight and, oh my gosh, I'm so glad I got a client. You know, like, oh, you know, they should have been excited to do something with you at that point, so that you've already cultivated this, I think, this culture of practical risk-taking, if you will, so that they're going to take some action. This is where the really well-placed questions continue. And you have a little bit more leverage. Let's say that they are a client or they've opted in to some degree, then you can play off the money and time that they've already invested. But getting them to take action, I think from a team perspective, is cultivating some kind of culture of practical risk-taking. And going back to that little bit of the quote and the wisdom I think I shared earlier, is how far can you go unless you're willing to go too far? I can direct that to the client. And I can direct that to listeners on the podcast right now. Be willing to go too far with your potential clients, asking those kind of questions, so that you are building that culture of practical risk taking.
So anyways, Thomas, this has been great, man. And I know my peeps are going to want to get their arms around this a little bit more and maybe spend a little bit more time kind of exploring it. And you've got something that's going to help them do that. Can you tell us about it?
Yeah, I've got a whole bunch of free stuff. Is it okay to leave some free stuff with your listeners?
Absolutely.
Okay. Gifts from Thomas. Gifts. Make sure it's GIFTS from Thomas. Giftsfromthomas.com. I put a bunch of resources over there. There's a couple of things. I'm giving away my Becoming a Masterful Networker connection course, networking course, if you will. It's an audio course. Plus, something that might be really helpful for, especially if you're a solopreneur and you do some of your best work in collaboration with others. Got a couple other resources over there. Once you kind of go into giftsfromthomas.com, it's called 90 Days from Mess to Mastermind. So if you're interested in mastermind groups, go for that. And a couple of the resources I put in there, all free.
Great. That's awesome, man. And I can't wait to check them out. So, Thomas, this has been a blast. If people wanted to get a hold of you, what is the best way for them to do that?
Well, gosh, you can go to giftsfromthomas.com. And if you want to kind of skip that site and go directly to my main site, connectwiththomas.com. Connectwiththomas.com has all the, and any pretty much anywhere on social media, but it also has social media links at the connectwiththomas.com.
Fantastic, man. Well, I appreciate you and your time and dropping some sizzling hot knowledge bombs on my peeps. And, you know, this has been fantastic. Some really great conversation. And I think people are going to get a lot out of it. I did. I mean, I love talking about it. So, man, thanks so much for your time.
Truly a pleasure, Brian.
Well, that's it for today's Bacon Podcast. We hope you enjoyed it and learned something today. If you did, please go to iTunes and give us a review. We appreciate all your feedback and comments. If you have any questions, go to www.baconpodcast.com/questions, and we'll make sure we get those answered for you. Till next time, keep sizzling.